local library's website or melsa.org to get started.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
Yo, what's up, Twin Cities? Welcome. Welcome back. Another episode of Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy. I am one of your hosts, JSE the Navigator, joined in studio by L Boogie. L Boogie is in the building. What's up, L Boog?
What up? Happy Monday.
It's a case of the Mondays. You got a case of the Mondays?
No.
I do that. I want to reflect on the album and the artist, the group.
Onyx.
Onyx.
It just hit me why I know that song.
Yes, it's funny because they had a play on words for the name of their album, Back the FUCUP. Back to F up, right? Onyx, what I remember about Onyx is they just seemed hecka angry, right? They were intense. They were intense cats.
Remember this right, wasn't their music video like the rap version of Slams, like were you mosh pit style?
They kind of had, yeah, they were definitely, all the cats was bald-headed. I'm looking at their their album cover right here. Intensity, they came out around the time Wu-Tang came out, and so there was an aggressiveness, you know, as the West Coast, we talked about the East Coast, West Coast battles and, you know, the struggle for superiority.
They're West Coast?
No, they're East Coast, but they came after the whole onslaught of Dre and the Chronic, and you know they were kind of the answer, the East Coast answer. Like we gangster, and they were intense. Some of the cats today, I see them on different shows. Like I saw Fredo is his name. You know, I saw him on The Breakfast Club, and he was taking on Charlamagne. He was like, yo, you're not hard. You're not really hard.
Oh, what?
and Fredo Starr, he's just a little cat, right? But intense. Those were some intense cats. Represent the street. As hip hop was transcending into, you know.
I was a big fan of that song.
Were you?
I had the CD that I would play in my stereo that had five CD changer, and I'd put Onyx in rotation with Arrested Development.
Okay.
And I had what was it we played like last week? Dos Effects was in there.
Yeah. Yep.
Gorillaz.
Okay.
And another one in there, but Gorillaz in the Mist CD. But anyway, so I had those in rotation. And when I think back to that era, which was a fun high school era for me, I really enjoyed those times with all my girls because we would listen to those CDs in rotation all the time while we'd get ready to go somewhere and hang out. I think about that. And I think about that feeling, that hardcore gangsta-like feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I do not put Charlamagne the God in that category. I got to go listen to that interview because I'm like, nobody comes at Charlamagne like that, right?
Well,
I mean, they do.
I mean,
but
some cast do.
Some do,
sure.
But
yeah.
I got to go. I want to go listen to that one because that might be amusing.
Fredo Starr, who was maybe the smaller of the cast. They had some interesting names. Sticky Fingers. I remember him.
Yeah.
I remember him in a movie. I can't remember that flick. But they were brought up by Jam Master Jay. They came out in 98. I'm sorry, 88. But they did not. They didn't release their album until 93. And it looks like Jam Master Jay had been involved of kind of elevating them, and you know they were definitely, you know, they had their crew, very aggressive, you know, in their musical leanings and representing New York, representing the West Coast version of gangster rap, you know, out of Queens. Anyway, we're gonna also feature tonight the music of another super producer who just happened to be born the same day as Premier. So last week I played Premier's music, and I wanted to make sure that we left some space on the playlists that we have for tonight for Large Professor, who is responsible. I'll get into like some of his production credits from back in the day, but he was on Nas's first album, produced one of the tracks on that. Was a part of a group. I remember them, Main Source. I got a track that I'm going to play from that, which was really kind of like a interesting house hip-hop hybrid track that was real popular back in the day. But he goes way back into the early 80s, mid-80s, and then producing albums and songs for artists, probably still doing it. You know, just one of those central figures on the East Coast. As well. I think he's also out of Queens. But anyway, that's what we're doing musically this evening. Do we want to talk a little bit about, you know, the...
Sorry, got it on Do Not Disturb, but my phone has a mind of its own. It doesn't listen very well.
It's not. It doesn't. No Kings Rally. I know we went and checked that out on Saturday. Great turnout. Right.
I was reading through it because supposedly across 3,000 different locations. This is according to the No Kings site. 3,000 different locations, 8 million people, largest single day protest ever held.
Mm. Which that was across the nation.
Yeah, one out of every 50 U.S. or I would say U.S. residents.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm gonna put it that way. Attended, and that was 2/3 of them said they lived in a small town, suburb, or rural area. Mm. And it was almost a 40% increase since the last protest. So it was a good turnout. You know, we got to see the boss, blessed St. Paul with his presence and a song he wrote
for Minneapolis. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Gene Fonda, Joan Baez, Thomas Morelli, Bernie Sanders, Peggy opened for that. There was a Keith Ellison spoke. I mean, we had our mini Minnesota Classic DFLs.
St. Paul Mayor.
Yes, Mayor Hur.
Also graced us with her presence. A lot of powerful speakers and energy, supporting Minneapolis, supporting. I mean, it was interesting because there was a celebratory part of it, which was a little. Juxtaposed kind of reality where, you know, we're celebrating some folks that have been victimized. Which is hard to when you have an event like that, you know, in the midst we're at this moment in time, even though we're engaged in a war in Iran and a lot of the other gameplay is still happening. We're at kind of a low. As it relates to ISIS presence in Minneapolis and the Twin Cities, and you know they're probably recalibrating right now.
They just deported 15 people. It was counted at the airport, so they're not done. And
no.
I think that's the juxtaposed for me that I have a hard time with. Is I'm like, but they're still doing things. We're not done. We shouldn't be celebrating like we're done, but let's praise for the work that has been happening and is going on and has delayed the, let's say, the goals of that administration, okay? But I was sitting on that feeling, and we weren't alone in this statement. It's a good conversational point because there's a lot of, you know, famous influencers, a couple of them, I won't call them out, I'll let you all figure this out, but they are asking, these are great, we love it, what do we do about it now? What is the point? Because what the administration is saying is these are nothing, these are meaningless to them, they don't care. It's a bunch of people walking, they don't care. It's not, it doesn't have the same impact on the administration, but maybe it does. We don't know. That's just what some influencers are saying. And I did a little work on, I'm like, well, why would they make that assumption, or what would draw them to this conclusion or this opinion or this thought? And a lot of it is because, and I think this is the purpose of these, is that you go because it's an outlet for you to contribute, to feel heard, to feel seen. It's an outlet for what you're feeling, what you want to share. It's an outlet of expression in numbers, because numbers do matter. Whether they say it doesn't, does this was meaningless then or not, I don't buy it. Because when you see 8 million people marching in across the United States, that's a lot of people. And so they're saying, though, that there's not a single like political action item or agenda or platform associated with No Kings. No, because it's about gathering. And you bring whatever sign means and whatever value and whatever part of this chaos is important to you. And that's what's represented.
Well, yeah. I mean, because it's not as simple as just narrowing it down. The assault on the democracy, the diminishment of the democracy has been a full court. UConn-esque press type of scenario for the citizenry. So there's a lot of content to fill up that signage and the messaging and the response. A little more complicated resistance. I think if there's anything that my takeaway from the folks who came out for this No Kings rally over in St. Paul at the Capitol. My takeaway is that, the nation, definitely the U.S. citizens of other of the nation that from other cities have taken notice and respect how Minneapolis, how the state has resisted this, this illegitimate, dictator-esque type of invasion of the city, really. Right. And how Minneapolis held it together, with the help of folks from St. Paul and elsewhere. against this assault. You know, I mean, and the assault was real, and the you know, people died. You know, at the end of the day, two people died. That made international news. In Bruce Springsteen's song that he wrote to Minneapolis, you know, he mentions Renee Good and Alex Pretty, and we know Dave Chappelle came here. I mean, so there's a lot of focus from folks outside of the state that are like, wow, y'all stepped up. But the truth of the matter is we shouldn't have to step up and should not be under this kind of assault or threatened in this manner in our democracy in this country. It's unheard of. It's not entirely unheard of. There have been, you know, there's a civil rights movement. There are internment camps for Japanese Americans. There's a lot of history of aggression and violation of human rights, civil rights in this country's got a, an ugly past, but it did appear that we have moved on and we're living up to the words that the founding fathers, you know, crafted as a more perfect union, you know. But anyway, we definitely have taken some steps back.
Yeah, and in some of the top signs, or I didn't call them top signs, but I was curious. You know, what were some of the signs? I always like to look at the creativity of folks, and my favorite one by far was a woman who had her dog. This was in New York City. She had her dog in a stroller, and the doggy had a sign that said "Bite the Power." That was my favorite.
I like that one.
Runner up. Used pizza boxes against Trump.
Okay.
It was dirty old pizza boxes.
Okay.
And I was like, you know what? They probably were just looking at those pizza boxes they just ate, and they're like, hey, we got cardboard. Let's use these.
Okay.
They also was...
Recycle, reuse.
Yep. And there was also, remember, your ancestors were immigrants, too.
Mm-hmm.
MAGA, meaning make authoritarian go away, or... Morons are governing America. You can take your pick on that sign.
Okay.
Yeah. Stand up for what you believe in. Not left, not right. Forward. And I will not go back to the 50s. It was a woman's sign.
All right. Yeah. I like those. Well, let's take a music break. Thank you for tuning in to Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy here on KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, KFAI.org on the net, Fresh Air Community Radio. We'll be right back, y'all.
For 1994, a new chapter was added. The rap world became reborn through Illmatic. Sun, moon, and stars aligned, and our minds were taken for one hell of a wild ride. Queensbridge, where stars are born. On the map, Marley Marl put me on. I was able to return the favor for his neighbor. Chronicles of bullets caught up in chambers. Blessed chicks, fresh kicks, new cars. Now being re-manifested through NAS. 40-side poet supreme, like water flowing through a ravine.
Uh-huh.
The chosen one who will redeem the Q barrel. The D's in the blue Camaro. Through the railroad tracks, these tunes burrow. New paths for the dudes on the ass. Salute that man anytime you move
Nobody
past.
Nobody does it better than us. Nobody does it better than us. Nobody does it better than us.
Acanelli at the door like, come on, what you waiting for? I got a meeting set up, Clark Kent and Warner Brothers straight out of QB. N train, 7 train, on the other side of the lane, my Kareem. Extra beat, holding that heat out in Colin. And then my nine spit the pain the world noticed, but still, it's true though.
Huh?
On the train, spitting the turkey and cheese hero. My bow, but yo, y'all never heard Gwen and Phil. The best rap I ever heard, now I say for real. Although he lost it on the train before he got a deal. If any rapper heard it today, you had to kneel, was like that. My kept y'all on your toes. Hooks, styles, and flows, and killer shows. Then it was the birth of money, boots, and clothes. Zillmatic, it was written in the scrolls.
Nobody does it better than us. Nobody does it better than us.
Yeah, I want to hear that Illmatic.
Okay.
New York State of Mind. Programming on KFAI is supported in part by the Dakota, presenting Ladysmith Black Mambazo Monday, April 6th. For over 65 years, Ladysmith Black Mambazo have brought their vocal harmonies from South Africa to the world. They're touring with their latest release, One Voice, One World. From Broadway to Hollywood to commercials to popular music, Ladysmith Black Mambazo's sound has influenced and inspired generations of listeners. More information about Ladysmith Black Mambazo at the Dakota is available at dakotacooks.com.
It's about that time. Woo! Yeah. Uh-huh. You know. Yeah. Word up. Come on. Lights, cameras, action, it's on. Straight out the gate with another hot song. Keeping it real though, gonna last long. Break out the steel toe, coming mad strong. Bounce if you wanna, lounge or play the corner. I'm New York, talking that gangster talk. 24 bases, QU to Oasis. So spacious, see eyes and no faces. In there, years just putting in work. For the dough, so you know that I couldn't get jerked. Street mental, throwing the hoodie then lurk. In the rental, until the end of the earth. I'ma be that fella, with the mozzarella. Always cooking up the new hot seller. Putting that money in the bank like a teller. And this be the number one rank, let me tell ya. It's about that time. 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 On the fast track, chilling, creeping like a villain. In 2000, new car, new housing. Bought a whole store up style, I'm through browsing. Kid, even more buck wild, I drew crowds in every state. And still draw them at every forum. Don't lose no points, I just score them. And count blessings at the top of Mount Freshness. Live, getting right.
All right, William Paul Mitchell, also known as Large Professor Extra P, was born March 21st, 1972. American rapper, producer out of New York. Born in Manhattan, but raised in Queens. He is considered number 13 on the top 25 hip-hop producers list. Again, as I mentioned before, responsible for mentoring Nas. Also, produced tracks for a variety of artists early in the day, back in the day. Eric B. and Rakim's Let the Rhythm Hit 'Em. And it was a part of the Main Source crew. And I mentioned them. I got a track that I'll rock, Looking at the Front Door. I remember that track back in the day. Was a master at the SP 1200 for you beat makers out there. I think the youngsters maybe not hip to the SP 1200 when making beats was a little more complicated, living entirely in that analog space. But he mastered that piece of equipment and went on to produce tons of tracks. Pete Rock, CL Smooth, Nas, Busta Rhymes, The Executioners, Big Daddy Kane, Mobb Deep, Tribe Called Quest, and the list goes on and on. We're celebrating Large Professor this evening, who had a birthday last week, but you know, we had to roll with Premier and do both of those producers some love, get them some love over the past couple of weeks. Because without the beats part of the Beats and Rhymes, you know, we're just, you know, we have to clap our fingers or clap our hands or slap our fingers to keep the rhythm. That's why beatboxes were introduced, you know, early on, but. But we definitely elevated with music creation. Anyway, what's up, babe?
Reminds me of that SNL skit that or opening with Melissa McCarthy, and she played the mouth instrument.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we would have to be doing that.
Oh, to everything, like every type of instrument as music creation.
You think you could do
it's
it?
It's one thing to just do the drum line,
no,
or the percussion line. It's another to make the music with your mouth. Biz. I was listening to that earlier today.
Well, I can't sing, so nice, good for you.
Mm-hmm.
You would do well. I would be over here, Melissa McCarthy style. You know,
blowing your.
I didn't think I could
hear it. You were doing pretty good. Yes.
Speaking of beats, rhymes, there was one more protest sign I thought you'd like.
What was that?
I've got 99 problems, and Trump is all of them. Little Jay-Z sting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, and to close that part out, I just wanted to do a shout out as well to the other gathering that happened on Palm Sunday.
Okay, what was that? I know Pete Lee was talking
about
that.
Yeah. The faith.
Shout out to Pete Lee and Bob Street for holding it down for 30 plus years.
100. My other, besides us, are my other favorite.
Am I going to be up in here all gray, rocking some Adidas, some gear, on a cane?
He's not on a cane. He probably walks faster than you sometimes.
Most of the time. Yes.
He's very fit.
Yes. What's up, Pete Lee? Thank you for holding us down for so long. Really appreciate you.
Yes. But I liked the term that was used, and that's faith fight. On Palm Sunday. Yeah. Okay. And it was, you know, a little bit of a different protest, and I say in this reason or gathering, and I say for this reason, is they were very clear on three things.
Okay.
And is
what were those?
The policy and rhetoric equals not caring about people, and that's against Christian values.
Okay.
Thousands of Christians gathered on Palm Sunday at our Capitol, and they, you know, they were singing, but they were also urging policy change.
Okay.
And there were six different ones held across Minnesota, but it was really linked to spiritual conviction with civic pressure. So they were clear on the message, and it was cuts to healthcare, not cool, ICE, not cool, and Iran war, not cool. Mm. And really it was love thy neighbor is part of the Christian faith. So things that the administration is doing is not loving thy neighbor. And I really connected with just the simplicity of that as well. I like the other protests, No Kings, where everybody bring your voice, bring your sign, bring your values, bring your thing to represent, because we need full representation.
Sure.
Just like, and then on the other side, the next day, you have a gathering of folks with a shared belief system and shared, you know, probably representing very various parishes.
Sure.
But aligned on a simple message, and that's faith fight for civic pressure. And I just wanted to share that because I think that's a very important gathering, given that's the platform the administration literally used today when the press secretary the first thing she wanted to announce to the press room was, did you hear my prayer? Did you hear us praying? And as we were joking before we got on air a little bit, is, yeah, that faux prayer. We heard it. You know, and I don't say those things lightly, because everybody has their own belief system. Everybody has their own alignment with faith.
Sure.
But we also know when it's out of alignment with what you're taught. If you attended church in any sort of way or had faith in other ways, whether you're a Buddhist or you're Catholic, you're taught to love thy neighbor. You're taught to care. Our Anishinaabe values tell us to care for our relations, and that's four-legged, two-legged, wings, water, human. That's a core value. That's across any faith.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem to be in this faux Christian faith. If we're going to attack people,
I mean, definitely there's some, you know, contrary type of behavior that's happening in the name of Christ, right? Just kind of cutting right to the chase. You know, Christ went into the church, into the areas where people are gathered, and called out the false prophets.
Yeah.
You know, and Christ was a revolutionary, not an individual who would try to justify diminishing the value of, you know, any other human being. You know, I didn't hear about Christ saying, hey, you know, take up arms against, you know, this other faction, this other tribe right here, or these other individuals. If anything, he spoke to our humanity and challenged us to live the words that we speak. You know, especially if you are given that gift to be a leader and a teacher of other humans, and you're carrying, you know, their prayers forward. If you're compromised and your values are all screwed up, which clearly some folks they are. You know, if you can justify what's happening in a White House through a certain Christian conservative, you know, sector that's supposed to be Christian, when you're violating the principles of Christ, who is the center figure, then something is clearly off. And, you know, you're killing people, you know, dropping bombs, destroying the environment, moving the world closer to World War III. That's more anti-Christ behavior, you know, than it is Christianity. So to be able to justify that, y'all need Jesus, like the real Jesus.
Well, they're going. People are going back to the Bible, but they're going back because they're like, wait a minute, what were those seven spills? What were those signs again? Because I don't really like this feeling right now that we're headed into this direction.
That's right.
It's worrisome to say the very least. So, you know. Anyway, so I wanted to give some praise to that faith community too for doing their march, doing their gathering as well. We need everybody to keep applying that civic pressure, whether it's a faith fight or it's a No Kings protest or the Bridge Brigades. Love you all out there. Mm-hmm. You know, keep the Bridge Brigades going. We still have to keep applying pressure, keep our foot on the gas and not let up, because the moment we let up, we give permission for them to continue driving their agenda and keep doing it without repercussions. At least we're applying pressure where some, hopefully some, will like the Supreme Court or other folks, GOP, would go, okay, maybe we do need to listen in a different way. Hopefully. So,
that's right. Let's be hope mongers. Thank you for tuning in to Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy here on KFAI. We're going to take a quick music break and come back. We're doing it.
Supported by Mutual Management Company. Mutual Management offers housing in Riverside Homes, a collection of vintage, low-density properties in the heart of the Riverside neighborhood. These homes feature unique layouts, strong connections to outdoor spaces, and the opportunity to build community within this vibrant area. Since 1980, Riverside Homes has helped preserve the character of this critical neighborhood. Learn more or explore available housing by contacting Mutual Management, MutualMGMTCompany.com, or by calling 612-333-9164. Make Riverside Homes your next home.
every night. Now that's not kosher. I reminisce with bliss of when we was closer and wake up to be greeted by an argument again. You act like you're 10, so immature. I try to concentrate on the cure and keep looking at the front door. Thinking if I were to evacuate, you'd probably be straighter than straight and wouldn't have so much hate. Cause you don't know the pain I feel when I see you smiling. And when I roll up, you start wilding. So I front like everything's hunky-dory. But it's a whole different story. You don't like the fact that I'm me. I don't put on a show when it comes time for you to have company. And your friends don't understand your choice of man. They speak proper while my speech is from a garbage can. But regardless, you shouldn't have to be so raw. I'm looking at the front door. I'm looking at the front door. Baby, I'm looking at the front door. I'm looking at the front door. When you're with your friends, I glide to the side until the spotlight is mine and never sabotage a good time. But when they're not around, the fights commence. I'm the one you're against, and it doesn't make sense. Cause I'm the one that you claim to love for life. But all I get is gray hairs and strife. And I can play some old stuck-up rapper role and get foul every time you lose control. But that's not my order of operations, so I should win an award.
All right, welcome back, Twin Cities. Appreciating the catalog of Large Professor. That's when folks used to dance back in the day, right?
Used to. What do you mean used to?
I don't know. I mean, I guess they still dance, but not like we used to. Not like we used to, for real.
Okay, last time you said that about concerts, rap concerts.
Yes.
I went to Keith Sweat's concert and he had a whole backup crew.
But that's from the era I'm talking about, though. You have more confirmed my perspective on that. Keith Sweat came up in that era in the late 80s, early 90s, where everyone had dancers, right? And so he probably had dancers. That was the way, that was the R&B, hip-hop crossover kind of thing that was going down. And, you know, clearly that track by Main Source featuring our featured artist tonight, Large Professor, that was a dance track. I remember that because I used to dance to a lot of house music back in the day, and that was the hip-hop, you know, vibe woven into it perfectly.
When you look like El DeBarge?
Yes, before I had the gray on my chinny chin chin. Yes, back in the day.
You were dancing the dance to that. I was seeing footage from the New Edition concert, Tony Braxton, all. They had backup dancers, too.
See? Yeah.
Yeah, that exactly. Era. I was dancing it, you know.
Yeah, that was...
Come on, baby, kick them daisies. That's our age difference.
That was, yes.
I had in a talent contest, my friend Seth and I, we did a talent contest, and we had a whole dance routine to Ice Ice Baby.
Mm.
Practiced it for a really long time, and that we did not win. Mm. But we got a lot of applause. We didn't win, though.
Mm-hmm.
I worked hard on that. But it was, you know, that's what I was dancing to.
Nice. Nice. You know who else was dancing back in the day?
Who?
Was really, I wonder, like, were you a part of this era? Do you remember this artist who also celebrated a birthday recently? So I thought I would rock this cat right here.
I got something for you on this one.
Okay. Here's something that's really interesting. So when this song came out, Turn His Mother Out, I mean, to me, in my mind, Hammer was still cool when this track came out, because I remember seeing this video that must have been shot, Super 8 film, different, wasn't a high-end video, and videos were big back then, right? But I remember the dance moves, you know, and the parachute pants, they weren't as wide and as flamboyant. He was just rocking it and killing it. You know, and I thought it was really a Southern style vibe, but it was right out of Oakland. And, I was like, okay, cool. I remember trying to do, you know, the Hammer moves back in the day. And, you know, he was that guy. And he still, you know, even till today, you know, I heard a lot of artists, a lot of hip hop artists, like don't front on MC Hammer. In other words, don't roll up on Hammer, because Hammer has some deep street cred. I heard that from Redman. I heard that from some other artists. Like, yo, you don't want to come. You don't want to say nothing, you know, off the cuff about Hammer, because he'll roll up on you and call you out. He did that apparently.
In his Hammer pants.
In his Hammer pants. To Redman, and Redman was like, "Yes, sir. I'm not, you know." So he commanded that respect and was a unique artist, a unique dancer. Clearly, dance being a key component of our conversation this evening.
I used to be able to do. I probably still could. I don't know, but I used to be able to do the Hammer dance, and okay. I saw
did
him.
You have the Hammer pants.
I did.
Okay.
I did. I had a few different colors because I had to buy with my own money, working at a hat folding manufacturing company up in the Northland. But we, all of us girls, my friends, we went to the Boys to Men Hammer concert at the Deck.
Okay.
And
Boys to Men.
Uh-huh. NBC. Oh, it was great concert. Right. Well, here's the bonus.
Okay.
We got there and we were early. I don't know why. We were early. We were so early that we were pulled to the side and able to watch from the sideline Boys to Men play basketball, shoot some hoops.
All right.
Outside of the Deck.
Okay.
And we had to do all that, and then they moved us to the front row.
Okay.
At the Deck. So we were front row for that concert.
Okay.
And it was MC Hammer. I got to see him in his MC Hammer pants up close.
All right.
Do the little hammer all the way across the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Right across the stage and back. And Boys to Men. It was one of the highlights of my early years. But my crew and I.
I think I saw a Hammer recently. Was it a Home Depot commercial?
Yeah, we saw it.
Okay. About Hammers. He still got the Hammer pants. Until to this day, though, the funniest parody of Hammer and Hammer and his Hammer pants was Tommy Davidson on In Living Color when he was impersonating Hammer. And every time it was a cut, they would cut the scene and come back to him, and the pants kept slipping. Up, you know, they were moving up pretty soon. They were up over his shoulder, and he was still getting it.
Uh-huh.
And then they ended up over his head. So anyway, yes. Hammer.
Hammer should do like a Fruit of Loom commercial.
Okay.
Because back in the day, the rumor was there were no Fruit of Loom under those Hammer pants.
Oh, it was just free twinging.
He was hammering across the stage. Typewriting, whatever you want to call it.
That was not the rumor I heard, but you know, the ladies might have been viewing it differently. Gotcha.
And Hammer time.
Do do we want to spend any time talking about the tournament, the NCAA tournament, our brackets?
Oh my gosh.
I was in the first place in both leagues. Or both bracket double challenges check. For like a good portion of the tournament. Like, I thought I was going to roll in to the final four, right? And be, you know, in that superior position. And man, a last second shot that happened at the last moment of a great comeback. Give UConn all the credit. But my Duke Blue Devils, which I did not pick to win the whole thing, right? I'm a Duke fan. Our other co-host who could make it this evening is a part of the Duke Haters Club and a fan of North Carolina. Carolina UNC went out early. But yes, what a game. What exciting games that were played. Big Ten represented at the next level. You got two Big Ten teams. That are still in the mix in Illinois and Michigan, and you got UConn, Big East, and then Arizona in the Pac-12. I think that's still what it is, the Pac-12. But anyway, exciting.
I do wish I would have. I could still go back and watch it because Duke and UConn are are two of my favorites since I've been doing the brackets early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, I'm not feeling good this week. So I missed that last minute shot. Was it a three-pointer?
It was. It was a deep.
By
like
UConn.
NBA.
Midcourt?
It was 10 seconds left in the game. It's been played numerous times. So
I got to watch it.
Finding that little video segment won't be very difficult. But it was a steal. So the younger Boozer brother, right, the one who got pulled.
Right. He showed up?
He did show up until... He threw the pass that led to the steal.
No.
That led to the, yes. And his older brother, just by a minute, they're twins, right?
He's twin never going to hear the end of that.
No. And it's funny because he had a tough game against St. John's. They almost lost. And they had Caleb Foster came back, who had broke his foot in early March. And he was the savior in that game, got Duke out of that mess, and apparently he has some soreness. He still played, but they had the ball got to midcourt. There were two Duke players, and he just couldn't get the ball over the guys that were defending him, or he didn't try hard enough, and they stole it. Couple passes. Dude hits a deep three, and Duke's season is over. UConn wins. You know, that's why it's called March Madness, you know?
Well, So those Boozer brothers—
Boozer
brothers. Their dad's a former NFL or NBA player.
Yeah, who played for Duke.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you imagine?
Yes.
The ribbon he's going to get at the dinner table or afterward. If I were him, the younger Boozer.
Yes.
Boozer.
It's all right.
I would ask for a 2-day reprieve from any conversation. Leave me alone.
From what I heard, I haven't seen the post game conversation interviews, but apparently owned up to you know the bad decision that he made. There were two players. I mean, even if he throws the ball away on the other side and they have to inbound, it's a better scenario than what happened. Because they were only, so it's 10-second clock. He still had time. He could have just held on to the ball, right? Or tried to dribble around and get into the front court because you got to, you know, there's an 8-second, 10-second timeline that you got to get across half court. But he made the poor decision to try to pass over guys that were taller than him that were able to make the steal, and then they just make a crazy shot, three-pointer. That's why it's March Madness. And that blew a hole in a lot of folks' brackets, though, I think, for sure.
Yeah, it did. And, yeah. We don't even see B on our radar for our standings. I can make fun of him because he's not on. He's number 16.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah, right. You and I, we're 2-3.
2-3, okay.
We're 2-3.
We slipped down. I was holding on to the number one spot in both brackets, in both of the challenges in the two that I was, one as a family, one as friends.
League, we're 4-5.
Yes. Still close.
But that one's going to be interesting because in that bracket, each one of us has a different team winning. The Final Four.
So that could be interesting.
That's going to be an interesting one.
I got Arizona. And, you know, Michigan could beat Arizona.
I know. I have
you
Michigan.
Know? And Michigan's a top team. Illinois also could, you know, UConn's got their hands full. And UConn's going to be riding on a high after upsetting Duke, for sure, in the last seconds of that game. After an amazing comeback. They were down by 15 and came back.
Yeah, because the other two folks ahead of us are Duke and Houston, and you know they're probably I don't see them winning that bracket, so we have a good shot still in this bracket.
Okay.
Of one of us winning that and our friends won too, but we all are going to Arizona and our friends won, so that'll probably come down to the tiebreaker points. But yeah, I mean I you know we didn't even get into the women's, but it's. And usually we do pay our respects to women's sports. We do.
Yeah. I mean, more than pay our respects. you know, represent the challenge. You know, the challenge was easier for the men's tournament. I know the Gophers ended up in the Sweet 16. They got, they did kind of got handled by UCLA. UCLA is I think one of the favorites. They might be.
They
a
were
one
last
seed.
Year too.
I think they were a one seed. So
yeah.
But let's listen to a little more music before we finish up this evening. Thank you again for tuning in to Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy here on KFAI Radio Without Boundaries. Be right back, y'all.
KFAI comes from The Wienery, proudly serving Chicago-style hot dogs, vegan dogs, and hand-cut french fries, with love on the West Bank for over 40 years.
Cutting things up, XP, I'm the surgeon. Hip-hop emergency, yeah, it's kinda urgent. Rappers getting all washed up in the detergent. But I'm still fresh and my lyrics are strong. I like Mary Jane girls all night long. I take a metal back, cold give you the gong. Then tell Chuck Berry how I rate your song. To mess with the best, reach inside your purses. Put that money on a man with live verses. Top to the bottom, bottom to topper. Make the rest look drunk like a bottle of vodka. In the alleyway bent, leaning over the stool. Used to roll with my peeps, now I'm rolling the cool.
All right, always giving mad props to those rappers who also produce tracks. You know, we talk about Kendrick Lamar, I think J. Cole. You know, many of us didn't realize this early on. Q-Tip, one of the super producers, who also was a cold-blooded assassin on the mic as well, the Abstract Poetic. But again, celebrating Large Professor. Before we get up out of here, anything you want to talk about before we get out? It looks like the January 6th protesters still trying to get that money, trying to get their money back for physical and emotional injuries that they caused to the nation. Oh, no, that they're trying to recruit for their own physical and emotional injuries they caused by attacking the Capitol. The audacity of the grift continues, right? The grift continues. The great American grift. The end of the democracy, the great American grift. That could be a documentary name.
We're going to be so broke.
For real.
We're going to be so broke, people. The way that the budget is shaking out here, I'm a little concerned. We're going to be so broke. And that's not cool. It's not cool at all. And I...
just fleecing the country. Taking dollars for your own businesses, for your own golf course, for your own whatever, collecting items. You got a plane. I'm like, man.
One of my favorite protest signs was...
I cannot believe how this is going down.
And one of my favorite protest signs was "Grow a spine, GOP," and there's five Dems that need to as well, and that typically vote in favor or in alignment with them. But we say that because you got to have a strong spine to be able to stand up to this kind of grifting and corruption and hold people accountable, hold leaders accountable. Watch what they do. Don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do, because that words or actions speak louder than words. And you know, I'm paying a lot of attention to that, more so than I ever have before, because I got to cross check, double check, triple check everything of what people are doing. And that's on a local level. That's at our federal level. Are our leaders that we're putting into office doing what they say they will do? And that's the responsibility of a public office. And, you know, times are shifting. Affordability is a crisis. And healthcare is a crisis. We've got, you know, HCMC saying they might be bankrupt. We got rural clinics
that are closing or threatening to close because of the Medicaid impacts from holding those dollars from the state at the federal level. You know?
And on the way over here, I was fired up over the pre-conviction or pre-eviction ordinance.
Yeah.
It just made no sense to me why that was vetoed. And because what they were asking for, the city council, was reasonable. And one, because when I cross-checked on rental assistance website, the ordinance was asking for a 30 to a 60-day extension for rental assistance.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to the community action and rental assistance sites, it says it takes 60 days for you to even get any sort of funding. So if you get a pre-eviction notice and have 30 days to move, and you're in the middle of a process that takes 60 days, you're SOL.
You don't even know if you're going to get it.
And you don't even know if you're going to get it, yes, and it's only going to cover $1,000.
Yes.
And I bring that up because I said that makes no sense to me that you would not support that if you just did basic information, like how long does that process take for a homeowner to be able to get assistance with eviction?
For someone who's renting.
And I don't like to use this station as that platform to be, you know, vocalizing my frustrations and anger, and but we do sometimes. And this was one of them where it makes no sense, because I myself have been close to eviction in my early years as a single mom and had to choose between electricity and rent or food. I didn't even own a car. I took the metro everywhere in St. Paul, like pushing my daughter in a stroller all the way out to Roseville because that's where I got daycare assistance. Ramsey County did me well. And Ramsey County passed the pre-eviction.
I would like to point out that I unapologetically use this platform to air my grievances.
I try to be neutral. I try to be like, you know,
put it out there.
There's always perspectives.
Unapologetically, whether it's at the federal level, whatever level, I'm calling them out.
Yeah.
Y'all could do better. Y'all should do better, for sure.
I do. I you know.
Well, thank you.
But this
thank
was one of those things.
Out. Yes.
And I will say that if you say you're for the people, and it just felt like, going back to that juxtapose you were saying, the Minneapolis rose up, is rising, is gathering in around a meaningful value of helping thy neighbor,
and then our mayor didn't help thy neighbor. Trying to help protect the democracy for the whole nation, really, right? Getting credit, getting props, and then meanwhile, you know, leadership can't figure out how to help the people who were attacked.
We've spent months making food, delivering food. Yeah, I know. Making food, delivering food, standing guard in our neighborhood, standing guard around daycare, standing guard around schools, being public safety for public safety people. We did all those things for months. And for what? You don't even want to give them a little lifeline on eviction?
Speak the truth.
It just really hit home for me, because it's not the exact same situation, but I have faced those fears of eviction when I had no money and I had to choose between my human needs to care for my daughter as a single parent. So, hey, people, thank you, city council members who fought that good fight, authored that bill. Let's not give up. We still had rental assistance that we'll get, but Thank you for putting the ordinance forward.
Yeah, still working on that at the state level as well. Thank you for tuning in to Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy. Here another week, another episode. We'll be back next week, y'all. We out.
I just found out I'm listening to Fresh Air Community Radio.
That's KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and online at kfai.org.
And you're listening too.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them, and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff,